Hi, welcome back to the Agent Success Summit. I'm your host, Mike Cerrone of MastermindAgent.com. In this session, Joanne Foslin will talk about first-time homebuyers, the good, the bad, and the opportunity. Joanne Foslin is an international real estate coach and speaker. Her philosophy is that life is too short to perfect your weakness. Instead, leverage your unique strengths into a flow of effortless success. Joanne was ranked in the top 25 most influential women in real estate by ActiveRain and is a master certified coach. I'm honored to have Joanne Foslin with us today. Welcome to the call, Joanne.
Well, thank you, Mike. I'm excited to be here because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics.
Well, Joanne, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for coming back again and joining us. Well, let's jump right in. Why should an agent pay attention to the first-time homebuyer market?
Well, I really think that this market is going to be one of the best in the next few years. But as you know, I called it the good, the bad, and the opportunity because it's been a tough market. But those agents that are looking to really define in the coming, say, 5 years, one of the niches that is going to have a lot of need, this is one of them. So who are these first-time homebuyers? According to the profile of homebuyers and sellers that NAR does every year, 33% of all buyers last year were first-time home buyers. Now, the traditional norm is 40%. So it has dropped. In 2010, it was as high as 50% because there were some incentives out there. But once that went away, it dropped back into the 30s. It's beginning to grow, though. So the median age right now for first-time home buyers is 31. That's kind of stayed about the same. It's been between 30 and 32 for the last 10 years. And the news about this is really about the Gen Yers. So when we look at generationally the numbers out there right now, the Gen Yers are 82 million strong. Baby boomers are only 72 million strong. And though baby boomers do have money these days, that's a whole other niche market to talk about with them retiring and moving and maybe getting second homes. But the first-time home buyers market is one that really has what I think is some pent-up demands. Now, NAR's economic numbers are predicting that those Gen Yers are going to create 66% of new households in the next 5 years. And that number is 24 million. So a lot of people who are going to be getting married, having kids. When we talk about Gen Y, we're talking about the 14-year-old to 32-year-old. So obviously, Mike, 14-year-olds aren't going to be buying houses. But you think about the ones in their 20s and early 30s, and I think we're going to see just really a demand, like I said, that's pent up, but that is going to open up so that an agent right now giving forethought to it is going to be able to position themselves in a way that they'll be giving the information, the education, and really the website interface that this market needs.
Wow. That is a large group of people. As you said, the demographics, a large group of people coming into their their typical buying phase. You said the median is usually 31 years old. They're right on the cusp of that. They're starting to move into it. The economy is picking up. I agree with you. There are a lot of factors that look like we're going to have a bit of a boom there in the first-time home buyer market. That sounds like the good. Is there any other good news?
There's a little bit of interesting news here. I think it does fit in with the good for the agents, again, that are strategizing what they're going to do. There was a roadmap that was developed in an informational that I saw that talks about Matt as a first-time home buyer, and it goes through the 8 steps that Matt uses in finding a house. And this probably won't surprise you. He starts online. You probably knew that, right? The Gen Yers are right there Googling what's going on. And when he's looking for an agent, one of the first things he does is he checks reviews. Now, I'm going to come back to this as we talk today when we talk about the opportunity. But I think the whole notion of online recommendations and reviews is one that we hear about, but a lot of agents aren't taking seriously. They are kind of hit and miss at this, and as I said, as we talk about opportunities, we'll go into this a little bit deeper, because the average Gen Yer looks for their realtor like they look on Yelp for a restaurant to go to tonight. So they'll start online. They'll check the reviews of that realtor. When they find somebody they trust, and trust is important with these Gen Yers, they'll have the realtor provide information and then go out with them. But along the process, one of the things that's really important is that they're not pressured. So they are really kind of wary of high-pressure sales, not having done a real estate transaction, most of them, before. They don't know what to expect. They really need the education. But if somebody starts being pushy with them, they'll just withdraw. They'll use technology along the way. And then once they've made a successful offer, they will share it on social media. This I found kind of interesting. They act differently when they're looking at homes than the average baby boomer does. The average baby boomer will go out, look at homes, find one, and then put on their Facebook page, here's what our new home looks like, for all their friends to see. The average Gen Yer will go out with their agent, narrow it down to maybe 3 homes, and post them all on Facebook and ask their peers which ones they like best. So that's kind of a different way of approaching it. And again, as we talk about opportunity a little bit later in the interview here, looking at how important and loyal they are with their peers. So they are going to ask their peers to give them their feedback along the way, and then afterwards they're going to be a great source of referrals, because if you've done a good job, this Gen Yer is going to share it on social media. They'd love to post a review for you, and it's something that we're really, really going to be able to measure. So there's just a couple other statistics I want to share with you when we talk about the good and we talk about who are they. So I'm talking quite a bit about the Gen Yers, and the Gen Yers are not the whole first-time homebuyer statistic. So what we find with the first-time homebuyers is those Gen Yers are a significant portion of it, but breaking it down in a couple other ways is also interesting. The profile of home buyers and sellers that NAR puts out every year measures a lot of metrics about who's in the market. And what they have found in the last 24 or last 12 months is that 54% of the first-time home buyers were married. So a lot of people are waiting until they get married to buy houses. Single females are 18%. That had been over 20% at one point, and it actually is the single largest market behind married couples in looking at first-time home buyers market. The third is unmarried couples, and that's 15%, and single males represent 11%. So, again, as we come to the opportunity there, this is an important thing to remember because for an agent, working just with single female first-time home buyers could be a very, very good niche market. And it seems like that takes it down very small, but when you look at the numbers, it really doesn't. And then back to how the buyers find their agent, this doesn't vary a whole lot from in the first-time home buyers market from the regular buyer's market, and that is referrals are important. And I know probably most of your listeners know this, have heard this. According to NAR statistics for last year, in the first-time home buyer's market, 52% were referred by a friend, relative, or neighbor. So those relationships are important, and are looking at who our sphere of influence is or the places that we already have some credibility and trust are important. 11% found their agent on the internet. Now, this is a statistic that a lot of times as we're looking at this, I had said earlier that the Gen Yers were going to start on the internet, and even if somebody's been referred, they're still going to go Google you. So even though that looks like a low number, 11% find them on the internet, that's finding one that they didn't know anything about. But the two work together, and I believe the internet presence with the first-time home buyers is very, very, very important. And then for the rest of the other 40 or 37%, it really is mostly 3% here, 4% here. Visited an open house and met an agent was 5%, saw the agent's name on a for sale sign or open house sign was 4%. So it drops down to a lot of different ways they're going to find you. And when I mentioned the internet was important, mobile in 2014, mobile searches became more than 50% of the searches out there. Up until that time, people were searching on their desktops or laptops, but now they're searching on their phones. And we saw that increase in 2014 above 50%, and it's continuing to grow. So 9 out of 10 folks in a study done last year by the California Association use the internet as their primary research tool. So a lot of good things going on out there.
That's the good. There's a big opportunity. There's a big market out there to work with. We kind of have a big picture of who those folks are and how they're communicating, how they're getting into the market. What's the bad? What's the bad part of this market?
You know, I can probably throw that question out. What's the bad? And I can hear the people that are listening go, qualifying. So the economy has made a huge impact for all of us, but especially for the first-time home buyers. They have some challenges with qualifying that have kept them out of the market. And, you know, over the years, of course, this has always been there for first-time home buyers, but the amount of student debt, the amount of unemployment or underemployment has made a big difference. I had somebody in one of my GRI classes here in Arizona who was about 26, and we were talking about this first-time home buying market, and one of the things she said is, most of my friends graduated with me at college, have a lot of student loan, and have not gotten the jobs that they expected. So they're working as waitresses or real estate agents, but they're having to rethink how they thought it was going to be. And one of the things we talk about when we talk about this age group is a word called entitlement. Many of them grew up with high expectations. And in some ways, that's good. In some ways, they're going out and being more entrepreneurial than ever and making their way. But for a lot of them, it's bringing together how they thought it was going to look and how it's actually working out. So back to this qualifying and financing. In the first-time homebuyers market, 95% of them are going to finance their home. That's probably, not surprising, because most of us in our 20s and early 30s can't buy a house for cash. 26% of the buyers said that the mortgage application and approval process was more difficult than they expected, and 18% on top of that, 26% said it was much more difficult than they expected. So if you put those numbers together, almost half of them are surprised by what it takes. 12% of them cited saving for a down payment was the most difficult task, and that's obviously because they are doing their student debt and everything else. 48% say they have credit card debt, 44% student loan debt, 36% car loans. So they're just kind of making enough to pay off all of those things. And when somebody says, well, how much down payment do you have, when they first go in to apply for the loan, they're stunned.
Sure.
Yeah. And so one of the things we're finding, though, is more and more are either getting a gift from a friend or relative. So I was reading an article the other day talking about how we're seeing a lot more parents buying with their children. and I think that's probably on the heels of this is another the bad. The statistics show 30%. Of people between 20 and 30 have gone back home to live, or I used that statistic the other day and somebody chimed in and said, or never left. So I think, the parents are looking at how can we get these kids out of the house, and they're the baby boomers that we mentioned earlier that do have money these days. So over 26% of first-time home buyers are getting a gift from a friend or relative, and 6% are getting a loan. So almost one out of, or a little bit over one out of three, is counting on money from others. 81% are using their own savings, and so not only their own savings. Sometimes they're needing the money from other sources as well. And I think, kind of to throw in a little good in the middle of the bad, we're seeing in many states and nationally some programs that are helping these first-time home buyers. I was speaking at a national convention in February, and a man in Colorado had mentioned most of the first-time home buyers he was working with didn't need any down payment at all because they had so many programs in place in Colorado that could help them if they were working with an agent who could educate them and help them with this. They would begin to be able to tap into those programs.
That's great.
It is. And I think what we're really going to see is as we have the numbers here grow, not that qualifying is going to become easier, because I think there's some, you know, national initiatives after the issues that we faced in the years previous. But I do think the fact so many people want to buy, there probably will be some initiatives that will make it easier and easier. One other thing, and I kind of touched on this when I talked about them being entitled, but the high expectations, and I'm talking with a lot of agents who are working with first-time home buyers, thinking they can buy a house like they just moved out of with their parents. And so they have these expectations of what they want, and sometimes the reality between what they want and what they can afford is a really big gap.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that's true with all generations. We always want something bigger and grander. In fact, it's probably just human nature. But let me ask this. You mentioned this. We've got this opportunity. We've talked about the good, the bad. We've talked about one of the big challenges is the qualifying and the financing. What can agents do to help these first-time home buyers with their finances?
That's such a great question. And when I mentioned in the beginning, looking out for the future of how to have in place the education and the support that these people need, I'm going to mention this more than once, but I think knowing some good loan officers that you can refer the first-time home buyers to, and the approach of this is a little bit different than what we've done as real estate agents in the past, because over the 30 years I've been training and selling and talking to agents, we pretty much have said what you want to do is filter out the people that are hot prospects, filter out the people that aren't going to buy, and filter in the people that have a need right now, in the next 6 months, the very most in the next year. With some of these first-time home buyers, it may take them 2 years to get their credit in a place that it works, to get the down payment saved. So looking at it more as a long-term niche and strategy, and putting into place some people that can support them. In Arizona, I know quite a few of the lenders have made this a niche for them as well. And instead of trying to help somebody get a loan or just say, no, you don't qualify, I'm sorry, come back when you've saved some money, they will sit down with the first-time home buyers and actually counsel them and put in place some action steps so that the buyers know where they need to bring their debt down to. They know how much they can put on credit cards and where they need to stop or which credit cards they need to close or pay off. They know how much money they're going to need for that down payment. So maybe, you know, they look at a 12 or 24-month plan of each month they're going to save $500 or whatever that might look like in their needs. But breaking it down so it's simple. You know, one of the things I found with the Gen Yers and the first-time home buyers is they think they are empowered because they can Google anything. They can go on the internet and they can find the answers and they feel like they know or they've educated themselves. And across the board, what I'm finding is when they get into the process, just like those statistics I gave you about the down payment, is they never knew it was going to be this hard. They never knew it was going to be this complicated. In that national convention I spoke at that I mentioned, I asked the question of, do you remember when you bought your first home? And, you know, what were the emotions involved? And there was a Gen Yer first-time home buyer who had bought 4 years ago. And he raised his hand, Mike, and he said, I was totally stressed out, confused, and full of anxiety the whole time.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, so this is something as agents, we have to realize what they're going through. They may think they understand. They may think they can Google. But they actually need somebody to hold their hand and educate them. And I think this is going to happen jointly with a lender who can sit down and help them with that piece of it, and a real estate agent who's going to help them with the other parts of it, finding the home, finding the right home, understanding the process that goes on. But the first one is for the agent to develop some relationships with lenders that can help the first-time home buyers and either repair credit or build credit.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Any kind of recommendation for how agents can go about finding these loan officers that specialize in first-time home buyers?
Well, I think most of us probably, if we've been in business for a while, have some loan officers that we know do a good job. And one of the ways is just, you know, watching what's out there. I know in my association, we're always seeing some of the lenders sponsoring classes or their flyers of continuing ed they're doing. So any lenders that are doing around the first-time home buyers, that's going to be something that would be a good person to contact. And then asking the people that you already are using if they are working with first-time home buyers and or who would they recommend in their company that would be the best person to connect them with.
Well, Jan, we've talked about the good. We've talked about the bad. Let's now talk about the opportunity. What is the opportunity?
Well, I believe if an agent sees this as a market that they would enjoy working in, they want to position themselves. And I have five steps. The five steps to position themselves are actually the same five steps you'd use in any niche market that you want to work in. But we're going to talk about today using this for the first-time homebuyer market. But it could be used in any niche. So the people listening might want to write down these five steps. And certainly we apply them to the first-time home buyers market, but think about if there's another niche they want to work in, how they can use that. And so I'm going to tell you what the five are, and then we'll look at them one at a time. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
Okay. So the number one is decide what percent of your future business do you want this niche to comprise. The second is how are you going to attract them? The third is who are you going to partner with? The fourth is what resources are you going to provide? And the fifth is what system and follow-up do you have in place? So if we go to that first one, what percentage of your future business do you want this to be? I recommend that agents usually have 3 to 4 niches. Most of us can't create the volume of business we want just focusing on one. And given market fluctuations at any given time, one niche is going to be stronger than another. For most everybody that's been in business 4 or 5 years or more, your referrals, past customers, and clients are going to be probably the biggest niche you have. But after that, looking at what 2 or 3 other areas do you love working in? Do you have some good resources for and you want to claim? So for this, it might be looking out over the next few years that you decide that you're going to have maybe 40-50% of your business referrals, but the first-time home buyer's market would be right after that at maybe 30-40%. Having made that decision, you want to then take a look at how are you going to attract. And the first thing to do with any niche is to look at what's different about these people than everybody else. Where do they hang out? What do they do? What's important to them? One of the things we're finding with buyers these days is a few commonalities, whether they're first-time buyers or just regular buyers, and that's pretty much fueled by the internet and the changes that that's brought into play. So most buyers want control, they want information, they want education, and they want somebody to trust. In the NAR home buying and selling profile, again, I love the information that's there, and trust comprised over 50% of what was important. The reputation was 35%. Agent is honest and trustworthy is 18%. To me, that's kind of the same thing that we talked earlier about the online testimonials and recommendations, and that 35% for reputation is where this comes in. And then behind that, everything that they see about the agent has to be aligned with that, so that they feel like this isn't just a numbers game with you, it's not just a hard sell, it's something that you really are authentic and transparent. I know those have kind of been buzzwords here in the last couple of years, but it's what the public's looking for. So, as we mentioned, online is where most of these people are going to start. And there's a number of things that the average agent needs to take a look at in seeing if there's a good connect with the needs of the first-time home buyer and their online presence. So that would include their website, a blog if they do it, which I highly recommend, their Facebook, and all the other social media, being the LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, things like that, because that's where these first-time home buyers spend their time. That's where they're likely to come across you if they don't already know you. And I'm a great believer in Facebook ads. I was just at one of our state conferences talking to people who were using Facebook to boost business and to use their business page and boost the post seemed to be the most common way people are doing things, and secondarily using Facebook ads. Now, the reason I am such a believer in this is that you have the ability with the Facebook ads and the Facebook boosting to be able to filter to exactly who you want. So if it's first-time home buyers, you might put the age limit there, 20 to 35. You can do it within a zip code. You can do it within a company that somebody works for. If you're in a large metropolitan area and you know, there are a lot of Gen Yers working for Google, such as Phoenix. You could be really, really specific in what you're looking for. You could do people that are engaged. That would be a wonderful way to filter it. And with those ads, one of the important things to do is make sure you don't just send them to a landing page. You have an offer there that they're going to trade you their email address for, so that you are able to follow up, capture, and use it for lead generation. Facebook also is really strong at helping you with people that already know and love you. So when we said almost 50% it chose their agent because it was somebody they knew or it was recommended, if you're on your regular Facebook page, not a business page, where we can't, under Facebook terms of service, sell, we can still deepen the relationships and we can still mention things we're doing in our life that have to do with real estate. And quite frankly, I have talked to more people who have generated business from their personal page than from their business page. But any agent that's interested in the first-timer market really wants to, you know, maybe take a course on Facebook or really get to know it, because I think that's a place where we're going to see a lot of business come from. So attracting them is going to be a several-pronged approach. The internet and online sources are going to be really important. One of the things that I've seen a lot of people do, which is kind of fun, is they're looking at their past clients' children. So if it's an agent that's been working for quite a while, most of their past clients maybe are now the baby boomers that have their children in college or moving into the Gen Y stage, to continue to let people know you're now a resource for first-time home buyers, or market to those past clients that you can help their children. Again, that referral number is one that says very strongly that's a good place to look. Open houses are another area where Gen Yers will pay attention. Usually it's not as much they see it from driving by, but they're going to see it posted on Craigslist for the weekend or in any of the other sources that they're following that have open houses. And certainly the physical open house, and what I mean by that is when the agent's going out there and spending a Saturday or a Sunday and a few hours in the house are important. But what's also critically important here is using video, having online open houses, because for those, you get them 24/7. And if somebody's up at 3 in the morning and decides, well, let's just see what's out there, that's a wonderful way to attract them. And then this fits with what we've been talking about thus far about then they're going to go online and they're going to Google you. So the second piece of this in attracting them is making sure that once they go online, they're going to see recommendations. They're going to see you branding yourself as somebody that has information for first-time home buyers. And the fifth of that will work together. Now, there's one thing, and everybody should write this down, the very first time they work with a new client or have a prospect, one of the first questions they want to ask is, what is your preferred method of communication? By asking what is your preferred method of communication, you're telling the other person how they want to be communicated to is important to you. And you're telling them you care about them. So if they want to text, and, you know, sometimes we make assumptions. We make assumptions that the Gen Yers are only going to want to text and the seniors are only going to want to have you call them up on the phone or show up in their living room. And that's not always true. It's probably true for the majority. But asking that question lets the client know that it's important to you. Okay. So we've got how to attract, and we could have spent the whole 45 minutes on that. But I want to get in the last three here. So who to partner with. Now, we've mentioned lenders and lenders that could help them that specialize in helping them qualify. But here's the deal. There are other people interested in the same demographic client that you are. So it might be a coffee shop. It might be a pizza shop. It might be other professionals, an accountant, a doctor, people that these Gen Yers are just starting relationships with. And maybe the professionals, you might have some Gen Yers that are just starting their practices. So it's a very, very good fit for you to do a little bit of brainstorming about who are the other strategic partners interested in this market. And just by paying attention to the market, seeing where they go, what they do, maybe a bicycle shop, a hiking shop, and then start to contact these people and say, I want to help you grow your business, and I'm specializing in first-time home buyers. Can you give me a discount coupon that I can post on my website or mention in my blog, doing maybe a once-a-month spotlight or profile on one of these partners is a great way to kind of kill two birds with one stone. You're creating your presence and maybe some reciprocity from the other people. And in real estate, most of us only think about our title company, our lender, our roofer, and we don't think outside the box of who else is interested in building their businesses. So you probably won't have to compete like you would with a lender who has, you know, two dozen other real estate agents that they have to kind of meter out their leads to. But in something like this, you may be the only one that coffee shop is going to suggest or let you put your cards or your brochures or whatever information you might want to put in there that people could pick up when they were in the coffee shop. So partnering is a really good way to expand and keep intact your budget, because you might be able to do some things together there. So the fourth thing is what resources to provide. We've talked about how the first-time home buyers think they know it all, and then they find out really quickly they need education, they need information. And here is the deal. Give them something they can't find on Google. You will be gold if you can do that. And it's easy. You know your market. You know the things they're going to need to know. And maybe in putting it in a study or report or article on your blog that starts to make you the expert because you're defining it and making it really easy. You will come up on Google much as the expert if you build a bunch of articles. Even better if you build a bunch of short YouTube, how do you buy your first house? What do you need to do to save a down payment? And just, you know, like breaking it down into little increments. The first-time home buyers love video. YouTube is the second most search engine after Google, and Google owns YouTube, so they favor things that are on YouTube. So if you salted it, so to speak, with lots and lots and lots of videos about a first-timer, you're going to show up as an expert in the field. The other thing as far as what resources they need, they are all about there being a service for everything. I mean, millennials use their smartphones to call Uber and catch a ride, to get their groceries delivered, to send money to people, and even to find a place to live. So they want it all at their fingertips. They want it as fast as they can get it. And having website resources that make it easy for them to find the information will make them trust you, make them happy with you. I'm a trainer for the Realtors Property Resource, RPR, and really love the reports in RPR. It's very easy, and RPR, if you don't know, is a free service to all realtors. So it costs you absolutely nothing. It's information that the consumer can't get. This is one of those things, give them what they can't get in Google, and an RPR report certainly fits into that category. And there's 7 different reports you can pull up on RPR, all the way down to a 75-page report about the home and the selling. So it's a lot of detail. And when you work with people that are analyticals or personalities that really, really like detail, the charts and graphs and that type of thing, you don't have to do yourself. You don't have to spend a lot of time doing it. And bam, you can send it out and impress. So the more education you can think of to make easy to get and to post, the better. And then the last thing here is systems and follow-up. And, you know, this is really one of the most important things, because when we talk about these first-time home buyers maybe not being ready to buy in the next 3 months or 6 months, we need to have a good system in place that's going to keep touching them, keep follow-up, keep reminding you it's time to call them, or whatever that might look like. And I know there are a lot of systems out there. One of the ones I love is one called Contactually, and it's a new CRM in the last few years that really ties into the social media and doing things online, and gives you reminders and lets you filter people. But whatever system you use, create for yourself an action plan just for these first-time home buyers, so that what you do is going to keep you in front of them, but keep giving them value. And then lastly, after the sale, the follow-up is really, really important too, because I mentioned that the first-time home buyers are going to be very loyal. They're going to tell all their friends about you, especially if you help them where they thought they couldn't buy, and you connect them with somebody that has taken them through the process, held their hands, and made it possible. Because after all, Mike, a first-time home buyer is stepping into the American dream, and for us to be able to help them have their very first home is one of the most amazing things I think we ever do as a real estate agent.
It certainly is. Well, Joanne, this has been a great topic, a great discussion. I know we could definitely talk about this for days, but we need to start wrapping up. We're running out of time. I know you have a free gift for everyone. Could you please tell us about the free gift and where people could get that?
Absolutely. I do every year something called the Awesome Year Plan, and it's a business plan that really kind of takes into consideration your whole life, not just the pieces of the business. And when we started out talking about how, you know, what percentage of your business is going to be in what niche, that's exactly the kind of things this does. So what I'm offering for the people that have listened this far through the call is a simple version of my Awesome Year Plan. So it's a very simplified version of it. And we set it up for a direct link, and the direct link is www.agentsuccesssummit.com/Joanne Gift. Now, my name is spelled strangely, so it's JoanneGift. agentsuccesssummit.com/Joanne Gift.
Fantastic. Joanne, thank you so much for offering that gift, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
My pleasure. Like I said, there's nothing I think more exciting than helping people with the American dream, and I appreciate you, Mike, for putting this all together to help agents be even better at what they do.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Well, if you liked what you heard, consider getting a copy of this session's recordings, plus all the sessions from all the speakers. Just go to www.agentsuccesssummit.com/special and pick up a copy during the half-off summit sale. Don't wait until the price of the recordings doubles after the event. Get your copy today, save half, and add it to your success library. Then every time you listen, you'll pick up another great idea for your business. Well, that's it for now. We'll see you in the next session. Bye.